We are in our final shiur together on Parshat Ekev. We left last shiur on a cliffhanger. In the first shiur, we talked about the fact that Parshat Ekev is the Parsha of Eretz Yisrael, via Ekev Tishmeun, keeping our feet on the ground, seeing things in the details, in the small aspects of life, to keeping within ourselves a perspective of Ve'achalta V'savata Uveirachta, of seeing God in the physical world, going from the miraculous existence of the desert into the mundane reality of Eretz Yisrael, but seeing the miraculous and the mundane, seeing the spiritual in the physical, seeing godliness in our work in the physical world, in the rain that comes down from the heavens and the food that grows from the ground and the houses that are built for us, and lo aleinu, not coming to a point where Chas V'Shalom we say Kochi Ve'otzem Yadi Asali Et HaChayel Hazeh, it's my strength that built this up. Because what Kochiv Otsim Adi Asali Techayel Hazeh or Avodah Zarah, and those are two sides of the same coin, whether I make myself into an Avodah Zarah or I look at other Kochot as being Avodah Zarah, not recognizing that everything, the ultimate source of all things, the ultimate unifying Koach, the Kel Haim or the Eile Mi, that was our last year, the second year, that all goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all Elohim working through Hateva, which is why the Gematrias are the same. Elohim is Hateva. That we have to see it going back. And to not see that every koach in this world, whether it's external, whether it's an olden days idolatry or astrology or modern days physics, it doesn't matter how you explain things, and it doesn't matter whether it's rational or irrational, whether it's religious or whether it's rooted in physical science. If we don't recognize the fact that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He is the unifying singular force that causes everything to be, that is Avodah Zarah. And that if we worship our image of God or our understanding of God, it's Avodah Zarah. And we need to make sure not to stray from that path, and we need to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything. That's how Eretz Yisrael functions. We need to see God for who He is, so to speak, based on our limitations. We have to understand how He guides the world based on our limitations. We have to understand what He wants from us. And so at that point, we're able to turn to Moshe. After Moshe calls us again as stiff-necked people, an Am Kshei Oref, unwilling to turn our heads and see the broader perspective of what God wants. And we say, Moshe Rabbeinu, so what does God want? Thank you. That was a beautiful transition. What does God want? And Moshe Rabbeinu answers the question. And this paragraph in and of itself is beyond powerful. This paragraph is the answer that we always ask internally in Judaism. What does God want from us? What are we really supposed to be doing in this world? What are we really supposed to be doing as Jews? It's right here, but when we recognize that this paragraph is coming in the context of Parshat Ekev, in the context of understanding, recognizing that when we don't do what God wants to do, when we try to just make up what God wants to do, that can be equivalent to a Avodah Zarah. Like we saw in the Gemara last time, that when we see that when we remove the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, it's a fiery lion that comes out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because Avodas Hashem and Avodah Zarah can stand side by side. They're only a hair's breadth apart. But the question is, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from you, or is it not? And in that context, on the contrasting background of Chet HaEgel, on the contrasting background, as that paragraph actually goes to, and it speaks about all of the mistakes of the desert, it focuses on Chet HaEgel, but it makes mention of all of the mistakes in the desert. That now Moshe Rabbeinu comes to us saying, okay, we've been through Parshat Devarim, we've been through Parshat Ve'etchanan, we've been through Parshat Ekev. We're moving away from the mistakes of Chet HaMeraglim and Chet HaEgel. We're 40 years later in the desert. We're in Sefer Devarim. We're on the border of Eretz Yisrael. We're about to enter into the land. And now, 40 years later, and having looked at these previous events where things are going on, now I can tell you, what does God really want from you? I can answer that question. We've given the question context and meaning, and now we're going to answer it. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Perek Tet Pasuk Yud Bet, V'ata Yisrael, now Israel, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach, what does God really want from you? Ki'im, here's the only thing He wants from you, and it's a lot because it's all of life. But we can literally narrow it down to five things. And we can spend our whole life on these five things, but this is all He wants from you. All He wants from you, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki'im, Li'ir'at Hashem Elokecha, to have Yir'at Hashem, Lalechet b'chol drachav, to walk in His ways, to emulate Him in our midot, ule'ahava oto, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'la'avod et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha u'v'chol nafshecha, and to serve God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. End pasuk. Next pasuk. Last thing. Lishmor et mitzvot Hashem ve'et chukotav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom letov lach. In order that you follow all of the commandments of God, which I have commanded you, in order that it should be good for you. Five things. Ahava, yirah, halicha bidrachav, la'avod et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha b'chol nafshecha, and shmirat ha-mitzvot. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's answer. And whenever we want to go back and understand, and we have those moments, what does God want from us? This is that answer. So much so that it is actually referred to as Parshat HaYirah, and I would claim that it's linking into the deeper worldview of what Yirah is about. We often think about Yirah in a very limited scope. We've talked about this in the past. Yirah, how do we often translate Yirah Tashem? The most classic explanation is fear of God. What other word is often also used with Yirat Hashem? Awe. To be in awe of God. The only thing that those words don't have is the word that's the root of this word. Mazi Yirat. What word is in the middle of that? Ra'ah, Yirot. What is Yirat really about? Yirat is really about seeing the world for what it is. Seeing reality for what it is. Seeing God for what He is. Because if I really see the impact of my avirot, I'll be frightened of its consequences. And that's a lower form of yirah. A higher form of yirat Hashem is if I really see God for who He is, so to speak, to the ability that I can. Of course I'm going to be in awe of God. He is the infinite creator, and I am the incredibly finite creation. And the greater my vision is, the greater my understanding of what God is, the more perspective I have, and the more in awe of God I am. Yirah is all about seeing things for what they are. And this paragraph is called Parshat HaYirah. If you look at the back of many Siddurim, this is also one of these parshiot that it's encouraged to say every single day. To emphasize for ourselves, what does it mean to be a Jew? What does it mean to be an Oved or Ovedet Hashem? This is the bottom line. Again, Ahava, Yirah, Halicha, Yidrachav, La'avod, Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Levavecha, B'chol Nafshecha, and Shmirat. In order to get a little bit of a deeper understanding of what Parshat HaYirah is all about, I want to read for you a section from Misilat Yesharim. But the other Misilat Yesharim. What do I mean? So, a little bit of background. The Ramchal of Moshe Chaim Lutzatzo lived in the 1700s. He was one of the greatest Mikubalim who ever lived. And he was also one of the greatest thinkers, one of the greatest organized thinkers in all of Jewish history. And in his Sfarim, he was able to take the incredibly complex systems of Kabbalah and not only bring them down, like in a Sefer Derech Hashem, in a way that even those who are not familiar with Kabbalah could understand, but also organize the entire deeply complex system into a way that it's organized and clearly structured, where a person can go through it and even on a basic level understand it. But Derech Hashem and the Misilat Yesharim that we're familiar with, that the Ramchal wrote, those he all wrote towards the end of his life. When the Ramchal was younger, he was allowed to be, before he was persecuted, he was much more dynamic. He was actually a playwright. He loved dialogue. And all of his earlier works, like his plays, were dialogues. And the original version of Misilat Yesharim is not the Seder HaPrakim, the kind of cold, hard, terse text that we have in our day and age that we generally tend to learn. We've been zocha that it's come to light. The original manuscript for Mesilat Yesharim was actually a dialogue as well. A dialogue between a chacham and a chassid. Where the chacham comes to the chassid, and when we say chassid, I don't mean the Bekesha and Strymel and Peis. They didn't have those yet. That didn't exist yet. You couldn't be one of those types of chassidim yet. We're talking about the chassidim rishonim, who he defines as saying Tehillim all the time and focusing on their avodas Hashem and not sitting in front of the svarim in the Beis Medrash anywhere near as much as they should have been, says the chacham, and very riled up, the chacham comes to the chassid and says, I want to understand you. I don't get it. What are you doing? Why are you saying all these silim all the time? Why are you learning these svarim of chassidus all the time? Why are you working on your midot all the time? Just be a good Jew, daven, and then start learning. What are you wasting your life away for? That's how the chacham comes to the chassid. Doesn't surprise me. I don't know whether he chose to suppress this version and write it differently, or whether he was forced to, because a lot of his works were censored in his later life. It's unclear to me which way that went. But it certainly resonates with me. Because, and this we talked about when we learned this Sefer together in the first year of the Midrashah, we talked a lot about this. This is still 300 years later and the world has gotten nowhere. This is still the way that the dialogue goes. Where the world is still looking at the people who are trying to be Ovdei Hashem and saying, but you're not sitting in Beis Medrash enough. What's wrong with you? You're not really significant. You don't really count. You're wasting your time. Why? You're working on, quote unquote, air quotes. You're working on your midos? What does that mean? You're working on your ahava? Get it. Love God. Fear Him. Move on. Let's start learning. Let's start learning Gemara. Let's start learning Halacha. Let's start the things that matter, the things that are important. And so the Chacham and the Chassid go at it in the beginning. And he makes sure that he makes sure to structure that they're childhood friends and they're coming back together and they do it be'ahava, meaning they're arguing from a place of love. They care about each other. But the chacham is very upset that the chassid is, in his mind, wasting his life. And the chacham is quite the chassid himself. Halavai were as much of a chassid as the chacham is. Because the first thing they talk about is the fact that they agree that the most important thing in life is kavanat halev. The chassid turns to the chacham and says, "Ach, masha mitzarech lecha li'inyan ze mitzad libcha u'machshavotecha yadata." But in terms of what you need, in terms of your heart and your mind, you know what it is that you're supposed to. You know all of these halachot. That's great. You've done all this pilpul gemara. That's great. Do you know what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from you? And the chacham answers without batting an eyelash. Kvar chachamim yigidu klal gadol kalalu. The Chachamim have already said, and they've given us a big klal, v'chol ma'asecha yihyu l'shem shamayim. That everything that we do needs to be l'shem shamayim. And the Chassid says, okay, great, so we agree. And the Chacham says, what do you mean we agree? Of course we agree. Anybody who's a Chacham knows that kavanat halev is the most important thing. And he goes on a long paragraph, the Chacham, talking about how our kavanat halev is the most important thing. And how, lo aleinu, if we use mitzvot for negative purposes, the repercussions of such a thing, how important kavanat halev is. Then the chassid says, achi, my friend, my brother, amarta harbe, you said a lot. And the chacham talks a lot before he actually remembers that he was asking a question, as often is the case when we'll come riled up. Amarta harbe, and what I wanted to tell you, hikdamtani ata. You gave me a great hakdama to exactly what I wanted to tell you. And that really makes the chacham go wild. Hakdama? What hakdama? It's not an introduction to anything. That is it. You learn Torah, you learn halacha, you learn Gemara Iyun. You make sure to have kavana. What else was that hakdama for? What's that introduction to? There's nothing else to talk about. And he makes a desperate plea that we're not going to read together to explain that the mitzvot ha'tzliot balev, those require iyun as well. That you can't just go throughout life and only learn. You can't just sit there, and this is less of an issue in the context of a midrasha. Though in some midrasha, they've adopted the broken practices of some of the yeshivot as well. But it's not as much of an issue in the midrasha. But certainly in the yeshivot, the majority of the time, the disproportionate majority of the time, and sometimes the whole of the time, is spent on exactly what he's describing. 300 years later, nothing has changed. Pilpul in Gemara and and Halacha Iyun. And the chassid begs me, says, you're doing all of this pilpul and all of this iyun and halacha. You think Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, Dveikut Hashem, those are halachot that don't require iyun? Those don't require thinking about? And the chacham fights him back. No, they don't. And how much time can you spend on these things? And what are you talking about? He fights with him. Arguments that I've had word for word in Batei Medrash in my lifetime. Not theoretically. I've actually had these conversations. I've been on the chassid side. And it's a hard battle to fight. It's a very lonely battle to fight. And he finally begins to start getting through to the Chacham. And the Chacham gives him a little bit of ground. And then from here we're going to start reading forward. The Chacham says, Lo ala al da'ati sijtarich iyun gadol al pina hazot. So he gives a little ground. It had never occurred to me that this small corner of Judaism really requires any thought. And the chassid sees that petach, he at least gave him a corner, and he's ready to push back. Corner? A corner? Says the chassid. And he quotes our psukim, and that's why we're learning this together. This is in the first chapter, it's the introductory chapter of Misilat Yisroel and Seder Vikuach, the dialogue version, which is now available in Hebrew English. The only place that I'm familiar with the Seder is this Ofik Institute. I don't even know what they are, but I have a friend of the car, so I tow for them. And you can get it in any bookstore now, in both Hebrew or Hebrew English. And he says in the introduction, says the Chassid, and we'll read together now, Al ze anidan, this is what I'm judging on, says the Chassid. Hineni ro'eh Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. I see Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. Bilamdenu dat be'emet machol vatenu maya felanu. When he teaches us what is our chovah in this world. Why are we here? The Ramchal crying through the chassid. Why are we here? And what's good for us in this world? When he says, V'ata Yisrael, Abriyut, V'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shromei Mach. What does God want from us? Now hear the way that the Ramchal through the Chassid explains these psukim. The entirety of the mention of keeping all of the mitzvot, shuklal hadinim upiskei halachot asher asakta bam, which includes all of the dinim and all of the piskei halacha, all of the halachot which you've spent your whole life learning, hu rak echad min ha'inyanim ha'muzkarim b'pasuk hazeh. That's only one of the things mentioned in this entire string of psukim. It's only one of them. There are four other things mentioned here. Rahim, Hayira, Halicha bedrachav, Ha'ahavav, Avodah b'lev. And one can understand why he wouldn't have been able to print this, as he looked at the entire Torah world and said, if you're spending your entire life on Gemara Iyun and Halacha, you're one-fifth a Jew. You're living one-fifth of Judaism. And then he describes which one-fifth you're living. Ve'ulam. Ra'ot yir'eh. Sha'pasuk hazeh tzarich pe'or. But see that this pasuk needs explanation, as all psukim do, and especially a pasuk like this. Ki l'choran yir'eh ha'lashon nichpal bo harbeh. It seems that there's a lot of superfluous words in these psukim. First of all, Ahava and Yirah. What was the fifth one? What was the fifth one? Keep the mitzvot. What are Ahava and Yirah? They're part of the mitzvot. So when it only said Shmirat HaMitzvot, I would have understood that Ahava and Yirah is one of the things that God wants from us. Why separate that out at all? That's superfluous. They're two of the 613. They also would have been included in the Shmirat HaMitzvot. Why are they listed separately? If one carefully examines the matter, because mitzvot that are specifically about the actions that we can and must take in this world, that's one category. Uklal mitzvot halev v'hamachshava him sug acher. But the category of mitzvot that relates to our hearts and to our minds, it's a whole different category of mitzvah. It's a whole different reality of what a mitzvah, and therefore it's not enough to just put it into that klal of keep God's mitzvot. Al kein chilkama katuv, and therefore the pasuk divides between them. And even further than that, says the Ramchal, v'ikdim mitzvot halev l'mitzvot averim. In the pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu tells us what it means to be a Jew, Moshe himself puts the pasuk with ahava yirah licha v'drachah v'avodah shebalev. He puts that before shmirat ha-mitzvot. Ki kein ye'ut, because it's proper, l'fiyah chashivut mitzara pu'el mitzara pi'ula, because regarding the one taking an action, and with regards to the action itself, what's more chashiv, the action or the first four? Ava yirah l'cha b'drachav and avodat alev. He's putting that which is most proper, both in terms of the actor, the one taking the action, and the action itself, the mitzvah itself. What's the most important? The first four. Mitzara poel, in terms of the person taking the action. Shapoel ba'ela hu halev shumelach baguf. Because what's really where should the mitzvah come from? The mitzvah should emanate from our minds and from our hearts. That's where it should come from. Va'poel ba'acherim hu aguf hu b'chol evrei tashmishav shemishartei alev. And the body is simply supposed to enact upon that which the mind and the heart, which is emphasizing you're supposed to do. U'mitzara pi'ula, in terms of the action itself, kikvar ikdame, was said before, she'ikar ha'avodah hi tikuna machshava b'ma'asim, that the main avoda in this world is not what we do, but who we are when we're doing those things. Of course, a Jew is supposed to be doing and keeping the mitzvot. But who is the Jew that's keeping and doing those mitzvot? How are they doing those mitzvot? Ve'omnam, himnei peirat miklal chiyuvei halev. Of all of the mitzvot, of all of the things that are dependent upon our hearts, this paragraph singles out, first, ha'yirah ve'ahava, yirat Hashem and ahavat Hashem, liot shnei ha'amudim ha'gdolim asher ha'avodah nish'enet aleihem, to be the two pillars upon which all of our avodas Hashem leans on. Then after that, this is not in the exact order of the psukim, it's in between ahava and yirah. U'sha'ar kol ha'taloi b'midot ha'lev, and everything is dependent on the midot of the lev, meaning in terms of our midot, who are we? What are the midos that we have? Klal otam ve'omro ve'lalechet b'chol drachav shebabo ha'pirush v'larbotinu shechamim v'rachav mahu rachum avatarachum v'chule, that we're supposed to try to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midot and try to live like God. Emulating godliness is looking at God's midot, His created midot, seeing that they exist within us and activating our godly midot. Shekulam midot hatshichot likavea b'nefesh liotam b'darchei Hashem mamash, that we need to embed these into our hearts, into who we are, into our souls, to be people who walk in the derech of Hashem. Pirusha drachim shumit nahegbam im briotav, the way He guides this world and interacts with everything in creation. V'chin siyem ha'inan, and it finishes the paragraph by saying, it finishes the pasuk by saying, v'la'avod et Hashem elokecha b'chol levavecha u'v'chol nafshecha, to serve God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Halamarta, says the Chassid, Sha'al inyanei ha'machshava u'mizimot ha'lev ha'katuv medaber. This is talking about aspects of the heart and the mind. Ve'achar kach, and only after that, hiskir kol ha'mitzvot ha'ma'aseh ke'achat. Then it just mentions all of the rest of the mitzvot as one, in one sentence. Lishmor et kol mitzvot Hashem. V'hainu, lishmor et mitzvot Hashem v'ech kotav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom letov lach. Nimtza shemilvad yidiat ha-mitzvot, that beyond knowing the mitzvot last time, how to do them, tzarich od arba'a dvarim achirim, you need four more things, shemitlavim el ha'asya l'hashlima, to go along with every single mitzvah that we do in order that the mitzvah itself can be complete. He's saying here that no mitzvah is complete without these other four things. If the mitzvah is not coming along with Avat Hashem, if it's not coming along with Yirat Hashem, if we're not people who are living in the derech of Hashem, If we're not people who are doing it b'chol libi, b'chol nafshi l'avodat Hashem, those were what make the mitzvah itself, every other mitzvah that brings it to a place of hashlama. A mitzvah is not shalem without these four things. Kedesha teirat selef anayiv brak, in order for our Kadosh Baruch Hu to be pleased by the mitzvah that we're taking. V'ulam ata, and according to you, lefi dvarecha, be'echad nitasakta ve'arba'a hinachta. And based on what you've said, says the chassid to the chacham, you've taken one and left the other four behind. You're living one-fifth of Judaism. I don't even think I said it as strongly when we were learning Mesilat Yesharim together. I take solace in the fact that the people who only learn Gemara and Halakha are likely not to listen to Shir number 3 in Parshat Ekev and Devarim. It's likely not going to happen. So I feel like I'm in safer territory. Right, but that's the problem, right? We're not learning Chumash. We're not talking about Chumash. That's why we don't know. Even though in this Sefer, it's telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us exactly what we need to know and exactly what we need to do. How do we even have questions? Because we're not learning Chumash. Because we're not putting Chumash on a pedestal. Because we're not recognizing that everything emanates from here. Because we're not dignifying the fact of what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, which is that in order to be a Jew, you need Sefer Devarim, as we talked about in previous Shiurim. You can learn all of the details of the mitzvot, but in the klal prat uklal process, it needs to come back to the klal of Devarim, which is telling you how to live as a Jew. This is a Sefer Devarim discussion. This is a discussion about how to take everything you've learned and bring it back into a holistic picture of how to be an Eved Hashem. That's what Devarim is. That's what the Sefer is. That's what Hanan and Ekev are. And that's what the Ramchal was screaming from the rooftops when he was crying in front of Chachamim in the 1700s that we still haven't gotten there today, and what we're being told in Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's leave the past behind. What we're being told in Moshe Rabbeinu right now, we're hearing right now, this is how to be a Jew. This is how to live a vibrant life as a Jew. Is that we need to spend time understanding what is Ahavat Hashem. For real. And which is exactly what Mesilat Yesharim is about. And how do I acquire it? And what gets in the way of me acquiring it? And what are the stumbling blocks in front of me? And what about Yirat Hashem? What does it really mean? How have I never realized that Yirat Hashem is Milashon Lirot? And I've been talking about Yirat Hashem for the last 18, 19, 20, 21 years. Do I understand the Midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Am I living the Midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Have I worked on myself that I'm really serving God with every fiber of my heart? Every spiritual fiber of my soul? Am I pouring myself into my mitzvot? Or am I, as so many Jews today walk around, doing mitzvot, kilu, I know what I'm supposed to do, I'm doing it, I space out while I'm doing it, and I get it done, and as long as I get a checkbox in Olam Haba, I should be fine. And the Ramchal is crying and saying, no, you're not going to be fine. Because you're missing four-fifths of Judaism and the four-fifths that are a prerequisite to making that mitzvah shalim in and of itself. And this, when you go up to Shemayim, he's going to ask, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, who are you? Who did you become? And in who you became, what did you do with who you became? But you are the one who's doing that. And we need to forge ourselves into Ovdei Hashem. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. He wants us to become Ovdei Hashem and express it singularly through the mitzvot. But the mitzvot without the person funneling themselves into them is an empty vessel. It doesn't mean to not do a mitzvah if one doesn't have the first four. That's why we have a concept, mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. And at the very least, then we're still doing one-fifth. And chas v'sholom lo aleinu, a person shouldn't stop doing mitzvot. But what he is crying out here, what Moshe Rabbeinu is crying out, what the Ramchal is crying out. Many who point out that the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim, it's his name, that he was a living continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu. There are those who say that. What they're crying out is to make sure that you're spending, and this is what he talks about the Chacham, that you're taking time every day, the same way you're taking time to learn Torah. This is Torah. This is Avoda. And you need to learn this also and incorporate this also, and this needs to be what you're emphasizing, just as much as you're emphasizing learning mitzvot, which you have to do. You have to learn Ahava, you have to learn Yirah, you have to learn Midot, you have to learn Avodah Shebalev. You need to funnel that into the mitzvot. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. He wants us to be people who are seeing the big picture. He wants us to be Jews who are seeing the scope of what it is we're supposed to accomplish. That we're not living as an Am Kshe Oref, but that we're surveying everything that's out there and seeing the godliness in everything, and especially the godliness in ourselves, that we don't need to create false identities. We don't need to create false images of God. We have godliness inside of us, and we need to express that through Ahava, Yirah, Halicha B'drachav, and Avodah Shebalev. It's all there. All the components are there. But to bring out the Ovdei Hashem that are inside, and to express that through the mitzvot. And that's all of life. That's it. Go. Leave. Go frolic. That's it. We're done. Right? That's it. I mean that very seriously. The rest of life is all a parish to this. There's nobody other than Moshe Rabbeinu who could define what God wants from us, and he did, and this is it, and we're done. And this is what we're spending our lives doing. As Rav Hashem, this is what we're spending our lives doing. Moshe Rabbeinu continues, we're now back in the Pesukim. Pasuk Tet Zayin, Moshe Rabbeinu then begs of us, in this context, Umaltem et orlat levavchem ve'orpechem lo takshu od. Therefore, peel away the cover on your hearts. Stop being so callous. Let God in. Open up your hearts to God, ve'orpechem lo takshu od, and open up your minds. Don't be so stiff-necked in your perspective. Open up your minds to seeing what God in this world is really about. Ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elokei ha'Elokim, because Hashem, your God, is the God of all forces, the Adonai ha'Adonim, Hakel, and this is where the phrase comes from Moshe Rabbeinu in this parsha, Hakel ha'Gadol, ha'Gibor, the Hanora. Asher lo yisa fanim v'lo yikach shovchad. God who is great, who is strong, who is awesome. What do those mean? Why those three terms? Why do they become part of Shema Esrei? What does it mean? We have to understand what God is, but now we have the opportunity to really take that in. And to see the fact that if he is a God, and this is a Mefurash Gemara and Megillah, which we say, for those who do say, Yivayitin lacha, the brachot, and Motzei Shabbat, every single week, it quotes the Gemara where it opens this up. In Masechet Megillah, Ose Mishpat Yatom VeAlmana VeOhev Ger LaLet Lechem LeSimla. What does it mean that God is the most awesome God? Since He is the most awesome God, and everything is filled with meaning, what? How do we then define that God? What did that pasuk just say? Look at it inside. Translate it for him. What did it just say? Ose Mishpat Yatom VeAlmana VeOhev Ger LaLet Lechem LeSimla. So He takes care of the widow, and the orphan, and the sojourner. To give them bread, to give them clothing. What's the focus of that pasuk? The lowliest people. The Akev people. The people who don't get enough attention. Because if you recognize that God is infinite, that God is Akela, Gadol, Yibor, Van Ra, yes, those are huge, lofty words, and we say in the beginning of Shemon Esrei, and that puts Him all the way up in the heights and seemingly totally distant. But what is Parshat Akev about, which is where we started 2 shiurim ago, is that God is in all of the details. You want to find God, don't look up, look in. Don't look beyond, look within. You want to find God, look at the widow. Look at the orphan. Feed them, clothing, those things in this world, that's living godliness. Seeing other Jews in pain and wanting to fill that gap. Seeing a need and wanting to give, that's being godly. That's what this God, who's Kael, Gadol, Yipar, Nerah, where is He? That's where He is. You want to find Him, spend time with a widow, spend time with an orphan. Give them food to eat. Give them clothes to wear. And talk to them. That's where God is.
Pasuk Chaf, et Hashem Elokecha tira v'oto ta'avod uvo tibak uvishmo tishavea. To fear God, to see Him, to be in awe of Him, to serve Him, and to cling to God with every fiber of our being. Pasuk Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Bet. V'idatem hayom ki lo et b'neichem asher lo yad'u v'asher lo ra'u et musar Hashem Elokechem et gadlo v'et adoa chazaka uzroa netuya. That it's not your children who didn't see what I was doing and who didn't see the Musar of Hashem and His greatness and the strength of His hand and His outstretched arm. It's not those people. We'll say it in the positive. And he goes in a long list of who it's not, but it really is. The next like 5 or 6 psukim. Skip down to Zion after all of that. No, ki einechem haro'ot et kol ma'aseh Hashem ha'gadol asher asah. It's you who saw it. You who saw the great things that God did in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in Kriyat Yam Suf, in the desert, in the miracles. You who saw all of those miracles. You're the people who need to pasuk chedu shmartem et kol ha'mitzvah asher anochi mitzvcha hayom. Leman techesku vatem v'yushem et ha'ar asher atem avrim shemel l'rishta. You're the ones who are going to inherit this land because you need to see the godliness in all of those places, all the way back to that first year in Akev. Then this little paragraph, which I wanted to do a shir on, but it would take us too far afield, and we're running out of time in the semester, and we're only 3 parshiot in. But to reread these psukim, to again take them in with a little bit more content, a little bit more content and context. Pasuk Yud. This land that you're coming to is not like Eretz Mitzrayim. In fact, it's the opposite of Eretz Mitzrayim. In what way? Where you plant your seeds, and you water it like a vegetable garden. How did they water their plants in Egypt? They would go to the Nile, they would put their buckets in the Nile, and they would, they would raise up those buckets and walk, and they would water the plants that they planted. It's all about me. I am my own God. The Nile is the God. Paro is the king of the Nile. Paro says, I forget where this quote is from, but it's one of the reflections of Paro's deep distortion in thinking of his own godliness. He says, Li yeori va'ani asitini. The Nile is mine, says Paro. Va'ani, what's va'ani asitini? I made what? Asitini. I made myself. I am my own God. I made the Nile, I made me, I am my own origin, there is no God. Which is why, where does Yetzias Mitzrayim end? With what makah? Makat bichorot. Anything that thinks it's an origin point is not. The only origin point is God. It's the destruction of all origins except a recognition of the only origin that matters, which is God. And that's why we then get the issues of Bechor and all of these things come out. All the mitzvot, they're a recognition of what the true source of things is. It's all dealing with the same issues. So you go and you water it, you water the land from the Nile. That's Eretz Mitzrayim, that's an Eretz Mitzrayim perspective. It's all about me. The beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and this is the subtlety of it, and this pasuk, this poem, this paragraph comes here because now after all of Parshat Ekev, we should understand the beauty of this paragraph. The Eretz asher atem ovrim shama l'rishta, the land that you're going over to an Eretz, Eretz harim uvkaot. It's a land of mountains and valleys, of ups and downs, and the complexities of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a flat land. It's not an uninteresting land. It's a land of dynamism. It's a land of excitement. It's a land of relationship with mountains and valleys, ups and downs, good times and bad times, that all come along with relationship. Limtar HaShamayim Tishamayim, because from the rain of the heaven you drink water. And that's all we need to say now. What does it mean that you drink the rain of the heavens? We've talked about this, I think, maybe even this semester, in the past, how amazing and wonderful and supernatural. I don't care about the physics. Now you know why I don't care about the physics. How incredible the rain is. In life we have something that's called gravity. Things don't fall out of the sky. And with complete complacency and acceptance and the callousness of heart that we're supposed to peel back, we walk down the street this morning and water is falling from the sky and we're like, oh, it's just rain. It's not just rain. There is water falling from the sky.
And it may not mean so much in Chutz La'aretz, but it certainly means a lot in Eretz Yisrael, because there isn't so much water there, because the water there is determined by one thing. When you look up and you see that rain coming down, do you internally, Ahava, you're all of the internal pieces. When you look up at that rain, do you see God speaking to you or not? Do you see the miracle in the impossibility of the sustenance that you need falling from the heavens or not? When rain falls, it's like Geshem. What does Geshem actually mean? What is Geshem? Literally. What? So it literally means rain, but it's Gashmiut, all physicality. Why is the word for physicality and rain related to each other? Because everything that we have in the physical world comes from the Geshem. It's the water that we need to exist. We're primarily comprised of water. And then the rain penetrates the ground, and the ground gives birth to life. And that life we use for food, and we use to make houses, and we use to make clothing, and everything comes from the natural world. The Geshem is what gives rise to all of the Gashmiut. And where does the Geshem come from? It comes from us looking up and recognizing that it must come from God. And if we look down like the Egyptians at the ground, and think that it comes from the ground up, from our work of the ground, then we're pagans, then we're heretics. If we're B'nai and B'not Eretz Yisrael, we recognize that we live in a dynamic land that is entirely premised on our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that when it rains, we need to sing and dance. Because God is telling us that He's shining upon us, that He cares about us, that He wants to give to us. He's relating to us. That's what's happening when it rains. Most of the sugyot about the rain are in one masechet in Shas. Which masechet? Does anybody know where almost all the gemarot about rains are in? Which masechet? Ta'anit. Why not in masechet Gishamim? Why masechet Ta'anit? What is the premise of what a Ta'anit is about? I make a mistake. I forget about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I take upon myself to fast, to move away from the physicality of the world and remind myself I need to reconnect with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's when we fast. We fast to reconnect with what's important. And that's the Masechet which deals with the rain. Masechet Tanit is the Masechet of relationship, and it goes through so many beautiful gemaras about relationship, about Eretz Yisrael, about the rain, about fasting also, and about our dependency upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to understand that the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is, all you need to say is that it's an Eretz Harim Ka'ot Limtar Shemaim Tishemaim Nikuda. That is Eretz Yisrael, because if you get it, that's all you need to hear. In that is the secret of reality, that everything, that I can explain the rain through meteorology and through physics, but when it rains, I look up and I see God and I smile, because I know that if it rains, it means, last pasuk, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota, means that it's because it's a land that God is seeking out. Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, that God's eyes are always on this land. How do I know that? Because it's raining. That's how I know. Mirishit Hashana V'yad Acharit Hashana. He's looking at this land of ups and downs, of rain. He's looking at us for our Ahava, Yirah, Halicha V'drachav, Avodah Shebalev, and Shemirat HaMitzvot. And that's going to determine the rain. And when it rains, we know we've succeeded and we're in a drought. It means that there's something wrong. There's something off in the relationship. We need to reconnect to bring new life forth. And that explains so many of the difficulties, if we've paid attention. So many of the difficulties with the following paragraph that we say, depending on who you are, and in this room you have less of a chiyuv. For me, it's as many as 3 to 4 times a day. This paragraph of Kriyat Shema. We're not even going to point out what the problems are. We're just going to see how the paragraph flows so beautifully from it, how it now makes perfect sense. We'll read it together and we'll conclude with this. V'haya, im shamoa tishmu at mitzvot, et mitzvotai asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom. If you follow, if you hear, and you follow the mitzvot of Hashem, which I'm commanding you today, and which mitzvot is God talking about? Le'ahavat Hashem Elokecha. If you really love God, Et Hashem Elokechem, ule'ovdo, and you serve Him b'chol levavechem u'b'chol nafshechem, then it should be explosive. Then I'm going to give you everything you want in ruchnius and gashmius. It's going to be great, and everything in life is going to be easy. But if I'm serving God with all of my heart and all of my soul, I want something big as a response. And yet, what's the next pasuk? Natati matar tzachem b'itam yorel malkosh. Then I'll give you rain. It's such an anticlimactic pasuk unless we understand that giving us the rain is giving us everything.
It's seeing that that is the response of God to true service of God. If we serve God and we give everything that we have upward, God will rain down very literally everything that we need downwards. And we're in a dynamic relationship. That's why that's the response. And as a result, you'll have tremendous crops. Because we're in relationship together, we're bringing new forth, new life in this world. And doesn't even need to emphasize here, v'irachta, because it's assumed. But then he warns, "Hishamru lachem pen yiftel levavachem. Beware lest your hearts stray. V'sartem v'avaretem Elohim acharim v'shtachavitem lahem." And you serve other gods, whether it's the gods who are idols or whether it's the gods of nature, it doesn't matter. Because when that happens, v'chara'af Hashem b'chem, God will become angry with you, v'atzar et ha'shamayim, and He will stop the heavens. V'lo yamatar matar, and there will not be any rain. V'adama lo titen divula, and the ground will not give its produce. V'varatem mehira me'al ha'aretz ha'tovah Hashem noten lachem, and you will have missed the point of Eretz Yisrael and be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. Because you will have totally missed the point. Therefore, v'samtem et divarai ila al levavechem v'al nafshechem. Keep these things so close to your heart and so close to your soul all the time. So much so, ukshartem otam la'ot al yedchem v'ayu l'tavot b'ninechem. So much so, that if you're a man and you have an even lowlier perspective than a woman, literally tie them to your arms and put them right next to your heart. Because you're so thick-headed that you'll forget unless you actually tie it to your arm and put it next to your heart and tie it to your brain. To remember to activate your heart and your mind with your tefillin. It's no less important for a woman to do, she just doesn't need the tefillin to do it. But that's how much. Tie it to yourselves, literally or metaphorically, bind it to yourselves, to your hearts and to your minds. V'limaretem otam et b'nechem l'dabarbam, and talk about it with your children. B'shiftecha b'veitecha, whether you're in your house, v'lechecha v'aderecha v'shochbecha v'kumecha. Because your whole life should be in the context of Odas Hashem. It doesn't matter whether you're in your house or walking on the way or lying down or getting up. Your life is talking about godliness because it penetrates every aspect of your being in Ahava, Yirah, Lichad, Rechav, Avodah, Shebalev, Shirat, Mitzvot. That is life. Because if you're doing that and you see God in the rain and in the produce, in the field, in your house, that's where it all is. Because your house also comes from God, and therefore, k'tavtam al mezuzot b'techa v'sharecha, and put it on your doorways, so that way every time you walk into your house, you remember that the only reason I have this house is because God gave it to me. And the only reason that I should be in this house is if what I'm about to do in the context of this beit, this mikdash me'at, is that which is kadosh. That's what allows me to enter into that home. Then, leman yirbu yimechem mevenechem al adamash nishpa Hashem lavodechem latit lahem kimei shemaim al aretz. Then you can be a ben or a bat Eretz Yisrael. That's what that paragraph of Kriyat Shema is talking about. That's what we're meant to be reminding of ourselves of. Again, Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit. Before that, you have Kriyat Shema even earlier on in Davening Korbanos, that's two. Kriyat Shema Shel Arvit, that's three. Kriyat Shema Alita, that's four. What we're meant to be saying again and again and again and again over the course of the day, bringing this into our hearts and into our souls to remind ourselves this is what it means to be a Jew. We'll finish off with Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Let him finish the parsha. I don't need to finish it for him. Kim shamor tishmeruna et kol hamitzvah hazot asher anochi metzaveh etchem la'asot lahavat Hashem Elokechem lechet b'chol drachav l'davka bo. Because if you keep all of these mitzvot, which I'm telling you today, meaning to love God, to walk in His ways, to cling to God at all times in every aspect of life, in the physical world, to see God in that and to cling to God through it. V'horish Hashem et kol ha'goyim ha'ela milifnechem, v'yirashtem goyim gdolim v'atzumim mikem. Then Hashem will drive out these nations from before you, and you will drive out greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Kol ha'makom asher tidroch kaf raglechem bo lachem yiyeh. Min ha'midbar v'alvanon min ha'nahar nahar prat v'arayam ha'acharon yiyeh gvulchem. Every place where the sole of your foot will tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, from the river, the Euphrates River, and the western sea shall be your boundary. Last pasuk. Lo yityatzev ish bifnechem. Nobody will stand before you. Nobody can stand before true of Deh Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is backing us when we're backing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're living godliness, God is behind us and God will guide us and God will take care of everything through the physical world itself. God will set your terror and your fear on the entire face of the earth while you will tread as He has spoken to you. Not you, the God that is within you, the God that is guiding you, the God that you've brought into your life, He will put fear into their hearts and they will run out before you and give you this land which you deserve because you are B'nai and B'not Eretz Yisrael. The Parshat HaYirah that stands here at the conclusion of the issues of Avodah Zarah and Chet HaEgel is, again, it's one of the most important paragraphs in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's crazy that we don't stand for it during Kriyat HaTorah when we read it during the cycle of the year in terms of the Torah readings. It's something which we should say every single day. But you know what happens when you say things every single day? You stop paying attention when you say them. It's a problem in and of itself. It's something that we don't just need to say. So don't start saying it every day. Start living it. We need to start living it. We need to start setting aside time in our lives to make sure that we're learning Ahavat Hashem, that we're learning Yirat Hashem, that we're learning the midot, how to live with the created midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to live in God the way that God guides the world. To learn what it means to really give our whole heart and our whole soul to Avodat Hashem. And not to forget it, because it is equally as important as 1/5 of the puzzle. It's only 1/5, but it's 1/5 of the puzzle. To funnel all of that through and only through the mitzvot. And if we're doing what a Jew needs to do, but being the Jew that we need to be when doing that, Ze ma she'Hashem Elokeinu shoel me'imanu. That's what God is asking from us. That's all of life. And when we do that and we see that and we live that way, then we'll see God in every aspect of the world, in every mitzvah that we take. Ekev tishmun, in every step that we take, will be a step of kedusha, will be a step of avodas Hashem, will be a step of a mitzvah, or of halicha b'drachav, or of yidbonanut al kadosh baruch hu, and seeing godliness in the whole world around us, kal vachomer in the Torah itself. And we will become the B'nai and B'not Eretz Yisrael that we hope to be, to inherit that land, to stay in that land, to build a Beit HaMikdash in that land, and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and reveal His oneness in the world, that it no longer needs to be hidden beneath the surface of the physicality of this world, that it can be revealed B'galoi to the world as a whole. B'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocheh to see that in our days, and B'ezrat Hashem, next time we'll move forward into Parshat Re'eh. And after all of this, now we get to a place where Moshe Rabbeinu can turn to us and say, Re'eh. Now we can start to see the big picture. We'll continue with that B'ezrat Hashem on Wednesday.